Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try Domaine Lafarge Tessellet from France. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Oui, oui, I have my French beret on tonight. I am driving the taxi in Paris.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm also driving. It's fantastic.
I love knocking you off your game.
Well, I feel bad for you.
Honestly. Why? I like my beret.
You're not
it's
actually
purple
wearing
colored.
You're wearing a very old Big Ten this championship hat. It's not a beret. I just want to pull back the curtain so the
Raspberry
listener.
Raspberry beret.
No. Also on the show tonight is the Triple B.
Good evening.
On tonight's show, we're mixing things up. Normally, this wine we would feature on the second episode. I don't know why.
Well,
sexism possibly.
100%.
Sexism
could be.
Remember, we've already covered this. What yes. do you want tonight?
But the listeners don't even know which is first, which is second. They just hear an episode.
And that's true.
They might guess by, you know, subtle slurring of speech.
Yes. So on tonight's show, we have an interesting wine from France. Languedoc-Roussillon, to be specific. This is an interesting wine. It's one that I saw on wine.com and said, that could be interesting. And the wine itself is Domaine Lafarge Tessier. Was that how you'd say that's good?
Jean-Marc Lafarge.
Yes.
Tessier. I'm not sure if that's a Y-sounding double L, but Tessier.
Tessier.
Tessier. I'm not sure. My French is limited.
Tessellier.
It's Tessellai.
The French say their double L's. They don't say yay. They say lay.
Tessellet.
But in certain circumstances, there's a different pronunciation. I don't know what the vowel combination is to the double L.
Would it make it more comfortable if I called it Tessa?
Yeah. I think...
Maybe that makes you too comfortable.
Only if you call me Joffrey.
I know. No. I could Google it, but I don't want to get the feedback. But yeah, I think
folks,
it's Tessellier.
Tessellier.
We
I like that
always
name.
Talk about GSM blend.
Well, they never knew that because I hadn't told them that yet.
Oh. Well, sorry.
You follow along so well. No, this is a GSM blend. It's Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. 50, 40, and 10%. GSM is a term not often used in France. The Aussies used to use it. I've not seen much in America, we've had it. It was bad when we had it. It was Estancia. I don't know if that's aired or not when we have this episode on, but Estancia GSM, we didn't care for that too much, but it's Estancia.
We were recently looking at, I think, was it a Washington grower that had GSM? We were like, holy crap, they have GSM. I don't remember what it was.
I don't think they called it GSM, but...
Was it one of the producers from Horse Heaven?
But they might have, I'm sure, well, it's probably Kay or one of those. I think they do something similar to that.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why would you choose these three varietals to blend together?
They're native. That's what it's what
traditionally.
They have. It's just what the French specific areas grow specific. And usually, I would guess this is a field blend.
No, Scott. You always say that. You always say, how would they get 50, 40, and 10 from a field blend? You can't do that. No field blends. It's not a field blend. It's not field blend. They wouldn't know the percentages.
Production? You know what the production is.
No, you'd have to count the grape clusters as they came in from the... It's not a field blend, you dumb. Good God.
Well, tell me how they do it or why they do it.
There's plenty of field blends that list the percentages.
We will find you a field blend. Trust me. We'll find that wine for you. This is not it. We've probably had it on the show before and it tasted like poo-poo.
I disagree.
This is
when
not
you
a
say
field blend,
you mean that they grow them together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mixed, yes. But if you have defined percentages, it ain't a field blend.
Okay.
One thing this emulates, sort of, is Châteauneuf du Pape. Although Châteauneuf's, I know, you're real dry. A similar blend, however, you might have some more, a few more varietals tacked on in the 3 to 5% range.
Okay. So what are you hoping to get out of the Grenache?
That's where you're going to look for a little bit more of the fruit. But overall, they're all kind of similar, where your backbone's going to come from your Syrah and Mourvèdre, and the juiciness is going to come from the Grenache. But we're expecting minerality. Mm-hmm. You know, we're expecting some tannin, too.
It is ink black.
It is ink black, yes.
So we're expecting tannins, some fruit, minerality, mm-hmm. a lot of structure.
Oh, much. Yes, complexity, actually. Something that's going to really come across as something that isn't $14.99, which this wine is. That's what we're expecting.
Knock on wood.
Hopefully. So, folks, when we take a break, which will be right now, we're going to come back and go through this wine here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care. But your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. Off the air, Scott. Really kind of... He showed his true colors shining through.
What?
As I said, he. You know, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna tell them what you just went through, but the Triple B is here to witness it.
I was accurate.
No, no, you were pretty bad.
Was it bad or not? The actual.
It was bad.
It was bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah. See, I say things in jest. You said them because you believe them. So the wine tonight, Domaine Lafarge Tessier. You like that name?
Not yay.
Oh, Tessie.
Lay.
Tessie Lay. Tessie Lay. Whatever. I don't care. That's it's red and it's tasty. It's an old vine wine, by the way, folks.
Look up French pronunciation of double L's. That's what I would look up.
Yes. It is old vines. I think the vines go up to 50 years.
Ooh. But they're that's not, ancient vines.
No, that's not ancient. No, I think Klein has vines that are at least 60 years old. That would make
that's much worse than anything that person did.
Now, this wine.
It does say that double L's pronounced with a Y.
No, see, I was right.
I
you're
just
wrong.
Don't think that sounds right.
Oh, who was right?
I was right.
I said you said no, and I said sometime.
Well, I wasn't listening to what I said. By the way,
I really like to listen to. Which is called The Rewatchables.
Oh, I thought it was our podcast.
So good. Yeah. But they have a segment called Half-Assed Internet Research.
Oh.
And I feel like we should
Is all Scott on there? And by the way, I was wrong.
Or Rob, who says that double L's are never pronounced as Y.
I never said anything of the kind. I said I didn't care. 70-year-old vines. So now they're really
There we go. Half-Assed Internet Research. Yes.
But aged completely in concrete tanks. No oak.
Okay.
Until we find it says it's been aged in oak, has touched this wine. But this wine did get a review.
Okay. From?
Robert Parker.
Bum, bum, bum.
And he gave it 93.
Before he retired.
Of his points. Well, it's probably one of his lackeys. And he wrote, an incredible value from Jean-Marc Lafarge. What are you fucking doing?
He's probably watching more footage of that fight.
Is the 15 Tessier Old Vine Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre, which is 50% Grenache, 40% Syrah. What are you doing, you fucking dumbass?
He's Googled. He's found this video about how to say Tessier, and it's some word box freak show video he's watching.
You're probably... Tessalay.
Tessalay. That's what you said.
Tessalay.
You said Tessalay, didn't you?
Okay, what he's watching isn't real. Show Rob what you're watching.
Your iPad
is never going to work again.
But it has high quality voices.
Is it porn?
It's not. It's
basically.
Trust me, Becky. His iPad has seen far, far dirtier, nastier sites.
It's like when there's an emergency alert on the TV.
Yeah.
The same people that do those graphics did those graphics.
Well, so I don't think it's that important.
So bad.
It's not that important. But Parker wrote. I'm going to throw a fucking pin at you.
Show Rob the video.
Show me the video. I want to see the video.
He shut it. That's how embarrassing.
No, I'm not embarrassed at all.
You should be
embarrassed. It's just not French. It was an American pronunciation.
American pronunciation of a French wine. Okay. A ripe, expansive, full-bodied, undeniably sexy red that has a beautiful...
Is
notes.
This Robert Parker?
That is yes. not Parker. He's what? Never used the word sexy in a wine review ever.
Yeah. Well, people have written that about him, though. Beautiful notes of Kirsch liquor. Or liqueur.
Of what?
Kirsch liqueur.
What does that mean?
Kirsch is a type of liqueur. Yes.
People usually mean more than one, and you're the only person I ever know that written that about Robert Parker.
Yes, but I've written it more than once. Blueberries, pepper, and violets. It has ripe and present tannin. Straight up fabulous purity and a great finish.
Straight up.
This is another one of those wines where you just have to tell yourself you spent more than you actually did. This wine is really good.
There's no fucking way Robert Parker wrote that review.
Well, okay. It was Johnny Parker.
But typically, whether Parker writes a review or one of his team, we've been most in line with him and his group than any other reviewer when we've done the show.
True. Jeb, too. I'm always in line with him. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Okay. In the glass, folks, this is dark as night, inky, but still has a little bit of a crimson hue. Very, very dark, though.
As it should be, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's it, 50, 40, 10?
Yep. Yeah. 50, 40, 10. And for Steve Gibson out there, this is 14.5% alcohol.
A little higher than most French blends you'd expect to see.
No, not from Languedoc. They're often in this range. But this isn't...
You can hear my feet.
Yes, you can. It's great.
I know. Good news is Rob finally fixed my mic.
Bad news is I finally fixed your mic.
Ow, how dare you?
How long have I been bitching about it? Forever.
Yeah,
I never noticed.
And also, she's also got now a boom arm for her microphone.
Yeah, I'm almost official.
Almost. Now... On the nose.
If we could just do something for that side eye that you get all the time. But I think that's more about your behavior than the person delivering it.
There's a GIF right now that I could use, but I can't. I can't do it in person.
So.
Oh, I do smell the violets on the nose. And I don't know what Kirsch liqueur smells like, but I'm sure that's there too.
I don't get the anise licorice, but the floral is there.
It's too muddled for that. I would agree. It doesn't come across as a pure cassis or licorice. No,
very very dark berry.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the Kirsch liqueur. Kirsch, isn't that cherry liqueur?
Get back on that YouTube site.
Yeah, find that same damn porn site you're on, Scott.
I was going to say it has like a really heavy smell to it. It's like all of the dark fruits, all of those kinds of things in that family are this smell.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's also a minerality.
Clear colorless brandy, German.
Oh, there we go.
Double distillation of Morello cherries.
Oh, so it's cherry. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought Kirsch, but...
Yeah.
So yes, it does smell like a candied cherry / liqueur. No, well, yeah, Kirsch liqueur, yeah.
But... There's still that blackberry, elderberry, that darker berry.
A juicy
thing
blackberry.
Going on. Yes, yes. And distinctly. Sharp mentholated alcohol nose.
Well,
I'm glad you brought that up because sharp. I do think it has an alcohol nose.
It's sharp though. It's not this expansive thing. It's like it's there and it's gone, but it's really distinct.
Yeah, it is. It kind of is like the menthol, because like as you're smelling it, you can feel it in your nose, like almost like a Vicks, like a way more refined, but that's the same.
And blueberries.
I expect this to be tannic.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what in the nose makes me think of that, but that's was almost my mentally. I'm like, this is going to be a tannin bomb.
I hope so.
Oh, tannin bomb, oh tannin.
I know.
Robert, I want to go and drink you, and I will.
Love Robert Tannenbaum novels.
We're drinking. It's very tannic.
Ooh. Ah. Oh, Languedoc, how I missed you. It is big and meaty. Mm. Oh. Oh, the finish. Oh. Oh, good God. Mm. That is good. All right, let's start off here. First of all, how do you like it, Becky? Scott and I have had many things that taste like this, and they're up there.
I like it more than I expected. It probably wouldn't be my first choice, but I can appreciate it.
What do you mean, first choice?
Of things to drink, you mean?
Right. Yeah. I like the tannins in it. It's got a lot of minerality. It's very full-bodied. It almost, to me, has like a... I don't know, like a chalkiness to it.
Well, that's part of the minerality. You mean the mouthfeel? That's a dusty tannin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a dusty tannin to it.
Yeah, that's something that I don't know that I've had before. Have I had a...
Maybe you've just not been able to pick it out.
Not in red wine, maybe.
Okay. This... And I think as this opens up, the minerality would express itself even more. If you had even a couple more years on this, the minerality would be even more naked. You know, I think a comment I'd like to make, I think there was a time where this minerality would have poo-pooed you off this wine.
Yeah.
Mm. And now I think this isn't the most mineral-driven Languedoc we've had.
No, it is not.
It's not the hugest
no.
exhibition of minerality, but it's decent. You know, it's where it should be.
Well, I would think one thing about this wine is it's bigger than some of those other ones too, so the minerality doesn't show. Like you were saying, a little bit more time, it would lean out a little bit. The Bila Holt is one that you think of, but the Bila Holt isn't this big.
Correct.
It has more minerality, it has a red meat quality to it, but it's not this big, and those things show a little bit more.
But what? So, in the balance that this wine exhibits, Becky, what do you think of this minerality? Is this something you enjoy or you appreciate, or where are you at with that?
No, I'm more at appreciate. I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I was choosing wines, this would not be like my personal choice. But I can probably make it through this glass. It is very full bodied too, and it's not a like easy wine for me to drink based off of how full bodied it is with those tannins. Like, I'm drinking water after sips because it's
well, her dislike though, I'm just going to assume, is not like I dislike dry sherry. you'll drink this. Dry sherry makes me want to jump off a building.
Right. And I can see the merit in it for other people.
You
did not
like it. You pretended you liked it.
I want to order
it. You're just a poser. Order it.
Buy me a bottle.
Why would I buy you a bottle?
No, just to prove me wrong.
I almost would buy the cheapest, driest, nastiest.
No, I want that one again.
I'm not buying that one for you. Buy a cheap one. Fino. Just watch you gag it down. Just choke it down. You know, I could supplant that with just alcohol, with just vodka, and put some yellow food coloring in it, and it would taste the same. And salt. Lots of salt.
Ew.
Well, that's what it is. It's vodka with salt and yellow food coloring.
Yeah.
And some, I'd squeeze some lemon in there. Nice. Choice.
What do you all think about it?
Well, so one of the things I really appreciate about this wine, it's, I'm a sucker for physical responses in wine, whether that's a mouthfeel. What this one does, I describe it as changing gears. There's this shift in the mid palate where it just becomes something different. I'm going to drink it again and be more specific.
Well, I'm going to be a little more interesting. What I find in this wine, first of all, it's an excellent expression of tobacco. But it's the same portion of your mind that enjoys a Pinot in a different way. It's an abstract type of drinking because they aren't your traditional flavors that you associate with something being tasty. It is more of an acquired taste because it is red currant into tobacco, into black pepper with, you know, a little bit of meaty minerality and some floral notes. That's an unusual curare that not everyone initially says, I associate that with being delicious. Now, if you've had enough of them, you start saying, boy, occasionally I really have a hankering for that. And it's kind of the same thing with Pinot. Pinot is softer. Pinot tends to be a little bit racier. But this thing has an elegance and a mouthfeel to it that really bring it along similar in that regard
for
me.
What is happening for me when it goes to that mid-palate and that tobacco exhibit itself, it just pops in there out of nowhere. And it kind of blankets the minerality and it carries through the minerality. You know what this has? That stringency that does almost a Merlot-like mouth-drawing effect at the end. It's a wonderful.
But that's also expression of the tannin with the minerality. 100%. They hit the same time, so I think it's emulating it more than it is astringent. But it does. I understand what you mean.
It's a wonderful mouthfeel.
It misses out because, it doesn't miss out. It does its own thing. But with the Merlot, you'd have a little bit of chocolate in that mid-palate mixed
in.
You
don't have that. It's tobacco, and that's where the minerality starts. And that minerality lasts for a long time.
The one thing, though, this wine does, yes, it's full-bodied and it's large. However, it never gets too weighty. It always has a sense of pillowiness to it. The balance in the mouthfeel is always right where it needs to be. It's a wonderful overall expression of the region. You just taste Languedoc all the way through this, although I would say that this is a little bit more of an expressive version. This is a little more uptown than the other ones we've had, and it's in the same price range.
Whether it was Robert Parker or not, that word sexy?
I don't know if I go
this
sexy.
Okay, the word you like is jazzy.
No, I wouldn't call it jazzy either.
This is a...
No.
This is...
I don't think
artsy.
It's...
Artsy.
I think it's someone that does wear a beret regularly.
Raspberry?
Just a beret. Would pretend in
tan?
Tan beret, possible.
When they're driving or just when they're walking down the street?
Who wears driving gloves?
Yes. Nobody wears driving gloves anymore, son.
Well, this person does. They would find this wine very interesting. Okay.
You find it interesting.
Yes, but I don't. I'm talking about the person that would really just always pretend to dig it. More thinks that they should find it interesting. How's that? And you probably do have driving gloves, Scott. You just need to look in those crates in your basement a little harder. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to have a discussion about a few wineries. And the discussion will be tonight where we would rank them 1, 2, and 3.
Ooh.
I've got 3 areas that I'm going to focus on. And we're going to talk about just the portfolio in general, not a specific wine that they have. And so we're going to start off with Washington. Then we're going to go to Sonoma. And then we're going to go to Napa.
Oh.
3 areas of focus. We'll start off, though, in Washington. The 3 wineries I'm going to throw out there, and we want to discuss what they've got overall. Chateau St. Michel, Columbia Crest, and CS. Let's think about this. In reality, Chateau St. Michel is doing a lot of good things. We know that. Their Indian Wells series, all the way through their Cold Creek. We've had a lot of good stuff, especially in the value priced. Mm-hmm. Columbia Crest, their Grand Reserve, their H series we enjoy quite a bit, all under $15.
Yes.
Those are all good. Then CS, the cab. Now, the problem with CS, though, you have to really get up in the range is to get another wine.
And you mock him a little. I mean, he's not your favorite producer.
Ooh, Charles Smith?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with him.
Okay.
He does K. I've not had it, but it gets good reviews, so it must be good.
I've got a bottle of that back in there. It's a kind of a different scale you're talking about. But
yeah.
Chateau Saint Michel, you know, on their higher end stuff, they've got some extravagant, choppy stuff with chops.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, how much you want to spend? They also have some other, let's just say, joint ventures and other things out there. Don't they make, they make the Burn. What the hell is that thing called? Born of Fire.
I think that's a joint venture with them.
No, I think that's them, isn't it? That's them, but it's in that AVA called the Burn. That's what it is. Hmm. But out of those three, what would you rank right now, do you think, to be the top? And did we leave any off that list? I don't think so. I wouldn't put Intrinsic in there. They make two fucking wines. Beyond that, you mean Quisilla Creek, stuff like that. But we're getting out of the realm of reasonable priced wine. We're getting into, you know, psycho wine.
I just don't have as much experience with the Charles Smith label. We love the CS.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard for me to go against Chateau Saint Michel, and mm-hmm. particularly for someone that has the breadth of the portfolio on the entry level. Have you ever had something from Chateau Saint Michel that was bad? And you're mostly talking about a $10 bottle of wine.
Rocha wasn't that great.
Yeah. It was fine, though.
It was fine, yeah.
But for the breadth of what they do,
mm-hmm.
It'd be hard for me to pick against them. True. And I've never had any of their even mid-grade and let alone high-end stuff.
Mm. It's good, but so is Columbia Crest.
And Columbia Crest we've had some good experiences with, but that's my take, and part of that's just because of the breadth of what they do,
mm-hmm.
both reds and whites. And I'm not a white wine drinker, but I'm not at a bad
because you're not a woman.
That would be what your husband would say.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Other than the fact that you have said that.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, not today.
Not today.
But I thought that. Jesus. Second, probably Columbia Crest because of their overall portfolio. Is that what you're saying?
I just don't know as much about the
other
two.
Would you like
to
put Red Diamond in there? Because I know you're into them.
I am.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah. Because also they source their wines, they buy from other places and then make it in there, and they call it washing, right?
Well, that would be something that somebody else might have more issues with than I do.
Who would that be?
I don't know.
Maybe Hocking Hills Winery makes wine from Washington.
Yeah, they have one.
Yes, they probably do.
Yeah, just go down the road and get it.
But we should.
Becky,
what
are your thoughts on this subject?
So, I would also pick Chateau Saint Michel. I have a coworker who's been twice. So her brother lives like super close, so she's gone, but the pictures of it are just outstanding. And really, I mean, there aren't really many ugly wineries, but I feel like it's just a step above.
Those are, I mean, you're talking, it's a mansion.
Yeah.
I mean, we were promised a trip there once, weren't we? That never materialized, did it?
Did we really push that though?
Push?
Well,
maybe Holly could be your hookup now.
Is that more of a kick or a...
No.
No?
I never believed it was real
anyway.
You know.
Yeah.
You still probably believe in Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. So then CS, though, would be third, though.
It's just lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Which is not unusual.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I don't know as much about that.
I was going to say, you opened yourself up there, unfortunately.
You know, it's true. We probably need to do more of their enterprise stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
CS? What the hell, enterprise? They make,
that's freaking fantastic.
They make Kung Fu?
Is that
they
Kung
do?
Fu Guruzing?
No, it's Charles Smith.
Huh.
Oh. I'd forgotten that was related.
I didn't. I think in my mind, I thought
Kung
it was
Fu.
Charles Shaw Kung Fu was.
I think he also still makes the Velvet Devil. But remember, there are things that he still owns and things he sold.
Correct.
So there's that.
You gotta call that as part of the portfolio.
Yeah. You don't have to.
I think we just have a lot more research to do.
Well, yeah. Kung Fu Girl Wrestling.
Yeah, it was a delight.
I agree.
Kind of offensive.
I don't really know.
Scott obviously is a contrarian, and he just believes.
Yeah. I disagree.
I mean, I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. I don't know, but
it's a label with art on it.
It's not art. It's a caricature.
Yeah.
It's offensive. It offends me.
Don't make tacos anymore.
But I'm woke.
Don't make tacos anymore.
I'm woke.
Yeah, you're right.
So, the next place we're going
What did you pick?
I agree with those.
The same order. Okay. Yes. I can't believe you asked Scott first. You normally ask me first, and I get so stressed out, but I agree with Scott.
Yeah. Region we particularly love from Washington. Triple H, Horse Heaven Hills.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
anything
wrestling.
From there.
Oh. Well, see, we have three different ones, so I'm going to go to you next. So, the next area we're going to go is Napa. So the three choices are Robert Mondavi, fairly wide portfolio there, Saint Supre, and Heights.
I've been to Heights.
Yes, you've been to Saint Supre as well.
I thought so.
Scott, have you been to any of those places?
Nope.
No, of course not.
Don't be me.
Hey, Becky, did Rob ever mention that he'd been to Heights?
Rob's never been there. I've been there.
Did you go inside Heights?
What would I have done? What? Set in the car?
Well, you did it, I don't blame you, at Silverado and Pine Ridge.
Yeah, I did.
I don't blame you on that one.
Silverado I went in.
Did you?
Yeah, one of them I did sit in the car, though.
Pine Ridge was a good choice. I hated that one.
Yeah. that's a great question.
By the way,
wait.
Folks,
what am I doing? Picking,
ranking,
some, just ranking.
Yeah,
oh,
just,
yeah.
Oh,
just, same thing. Breadth. Which, I mean, obviously, you can pick any criteria you want.
For Saint Supre, you got to remember then their Napa series. They have a good Sauvignon Blanc, which I've flirted with occasionally. We will have on the show eventually. But it's like, you know, there's so many reds to drink at $17. Their Chardonnay, their Cabernet, and we've had their more expensive Merlot.
And then, I know, I'm having a hard time. Like, I think I'm going to pick Heights first.
Okay, Heights number one. Okay.
And then I just feel real mixed about my second. Like, I don't want to say Robert Mondavi because whatever, but I also, at the same time, they have everything.
And their medium to high-end stuff is really good. And, you know, they do a lot. They're the Illuminati. They do a lot of low-end stuff.
Is it the Napa? Is it? We've had the Cabernet. Is it that good?
I'm imagining in my mind that the question is, if you're only allowed to stock one winery in your cap, that's how I'm envisioning this question. So I'm like, okay, Heights, yes. Then, like, if I'm only allowed to have either Robert Mondavi or Saint Supre, what do I pick? I think I would pick Robert Mondavi just because they do have a lot more depth in their collection. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's like a drop off.
And they do some entry price stuff really well. One of the surprising bottles we ever did on the show that we didn't want to like was that 15th anniversary.
Oh yes,
it was freaking spectacularly good.
It was very adequate. Yeah.
Oh,
liked it. We didn't go to Robert Mondavi when we were out there, but we had planned to, and I think we ended up going like a different way on the road. But we had talked about it a lot because we didn't go to any like massive wineries.
Yeah, the biggest one we went to was like BV, Beulah View Vineyard. Mondavi though is another thing. It doesn't have the artisanal quality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. Although Saint Supre has excellent wines. If you're looking at for a full portfolio kind of thing, some people might even argue that Mondavi should be number one, even though
because Heights is so specific and it's nothing but higher end artisanal
stuff.
Well,
they have some Zins and some.
They do Zins.
Oh yeah, they have a Zin.
But they're like
Napa Zin.
They're cabs.
Price stuff
$30.
$30.
It's below the Zin is below $30.
Is it really?
Yeah, 26, 28.
Wow. I feel like most of their stuff is like 50 plus.
You know, you can get the ink-grade port right now for $43.99 on wine.com.
Do, do, do.
375 ml?
No. Screw that. No, it's not 375 ml. A spit on a spit
I can't
on
believe
it.
That.
I can.
If
twice.
Someone, I would have.
Yeah, the ink-grade ink Zen is $33 on wine.com.
What? Is that Heitz, a half?
Heitziller Inkgrade Zen is
$33. Zen. Okay, yes, because the Inkgrade port. Okay, Inkgrade Zen, 33, yeah. Oh, you know what? I think I saw it at a wine library on one of those little weirdo things that they mm-hmm. did. If you have their free shipping, which costs $100,000, you could get it for like 26 or 27 or something like that. But you already paid $250,000 to get free shipping.
Well.
Yeah, screw you, whatever his name is, with his old reviews. And his weirdo wines. That stuff, that man, he has some weird, sells some weird shit. And he always has it on the Cinderella wine. Like, what the hell is it today? I always look every day. I'm not buying it ever.
I didn't.
I don't recall the last time I ever bought anything from them. I just am kind of curious as to the random crap they're trying to sell this week. And you're like, that's an 11 vintage. And they have like the Simi port or CV port. C or CV Merlot. CV is an elite winery, at least it was like 15 years ago. But they're trying to sell like a 98 CV port.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, that ain't drinkable anymore, just to let you know. Top tip. And they want like $80 for it. It's like, yeah. No. So, on to the last one, though. In this last category, though, four wineries we're going to do.
Okay.
Does this question go to yourself?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Okay. Sonoma. And the group is, this is Sophie's choice right here. Chateau Zengin.
Mm.
Ferrari Carano.
Damn you.
St. Francis. And Rodney Strong. Now, Rodney gets last place because of fucking Charlotte's Home Sauvignon Blanc.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Nope.
Dead last.
Nope.
Four.
Name those four again.
Chateau Zengin. Ferrari Carano, St. Francis, and Chateau and Ronnie Strong. And let me tell you what my ranking is. Number four, Rodney Strong, partly because of the Charlotte's Home. Although there's a lot of good values, that one just lingers in my mind. Call me biased, whatever. The next, number three, Chateau Zengin. Chateau Zengin. All right, okay, let's be honest. If it wasn't for the Charlotte's Home, it would be in front of Chateau Zengin. Simply because Chateau Zengin has a big hole in its portfolio. The Sonoma County Cab is good, but it isn't all that readily available, and it's like $25. And then the California stuff, you don't really want to drink. See, Rodney Strong, they have a Sonoma County label, but they don't really have a California label, which Chateau Zengin does. Number two, St. Francis. Their Sonoma County line, whether it be Zin or Cab or even Merlot, is very good under $20. Really good. And then their reserve level, really good. But
that's what I thought you would pick for first.
No, because there's a winery that is known as Ferrari Carano. Now, let's talk about when have we ever had a bad wine from Ferrari Carano? We've had the Cab. Loved the Cab.
Loved the Cab.
We've had the Merlot. Love the Merlot on several occasions.
We love the Merlot much more than the Cab.
No, we did not, Scott. When have you had the Cab? We had the Cab recently. The 15 Cab is immaculate.
Better than the Merlot.
Oh, the Merlot is a big difference between those two wines.
Okay.
Wild difference. Gap. The Merlot is fine, but it's not the Cab. And I think Ferrari Carano would tell you that. Their Fumé Blanc, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Their Sienna, the Sangiovese blend is good.
Without me.
But I've also drank it with you.
But it was a white, and you had it on the show without a woman.
We did.
You were pregnant, probably.
Probably.
Yes, barefoot as well. But Ferrari Carano,
check your head. Please give him the side eye.
But all those things, though, are 35 or below. All of them. You can get their Anderson Valley Pinot is below 35. Mm. Anderson Valley.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Anderson Valley is an elite Pinot producer. That's a really rare place to find. Goldeneye, that's where they make it, and that's one of the Duckhorns. I should have put Duckhorn in Napa, but I didn't. Oh,
where would you have placed it?
See, that's the problem. Are you going to throw Decoy in there? Because Decoy is Sonoma, not Napa. So how are you going to do that? See what I'm saying?
Decoy is pretty good.
Decoy is pretty solid, yeah. I Mondavi doesn't really match it pound for pound.
So... I think it's not 1, 2, 3, 4. It's one, and my number one's the same as you.
Yeah.
But then I kind of sort of rate the other three kind of all as equals. They all have their strengths. They all have their weaknesses. And all these folks have... It's going to be hard for me to downplay that Saint Supre.
That's the Napa. Yeah, you need to live in the now. We've moved on.
But memories... of that, that's going to be hard for me to knock them below everybody else.
I'm going
to
switch something.
I was waiting on you to sing memories of the way we were.
That's something Scott would do. By the way, I'm going to put Satchel Zinji at 4 and Rodney Strong at 3. Because I just remembered,
how dare you?
Rodney Strong has 4 reds that are really good.
Yeah.
Both Pinots, Russian River and Sonoma Coast, and both cabs, Alexander Valley and the Knights Valley. Now, the Sonoma County cab isn't good, but...
It's not awful either.
It's, well... Not awful is not something that one touts. Wait a minute.
Good as other
Why are we in this? We're in Sonoma. Where are we? Where am I right now? I forget. No, I'm in Reno. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, we need to make the next payroll. Right. Come on, Black. Yes. So that's some rankings, some thoughts. But anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and review this wine here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I'm drunk.
I'm sorry. You were drunk. So we're back, folks. And tonight, we're going to review the Domaine Lafarge. Tessier. From Languedoc-Roussillon in France. Nice read from Parker, but what will he get from the Wine Vault?
Tessier.
I know one wants to know.
Tessier.
So we're going to go over the Triple B.
Tessier.
And we're going to find out what her review is. How does she... numerically provide this wine its worth.
She wore a raspberry beret. Got you high from a second hand.
Don't smile when he does that. It's funny. You're only encouraging
it. It is funny.
That's okay. Looks on everything.
Yeah. Okay. So this is kind of my first foray into GSM.
Tessier. First foray into Tessier.
Uh-huh.
Ooh la la.
So I think I'm going to be more conservative on my scoring than you all are.
Mm-mm.
I am trying to balance that out with this isn't really my cup of tea, but I am trying to appreciate new wines. So
just stretching my arm.
What do you think about the complexity?
And
the combination of different components in this wine?
I like it. I thought there was going to be more, honestly, in the sense that I thought it was going to be, like, sometimes when we've had some of our bigger wines, it's almost been like a journey through the palate.
Okay.
And this, to me, doesn't feel like that journey. The dusty tannins, not my thing, but again, I recognize that's a style, not something necessary, like, I don't really look for. It does have a lot of tannins in it.
What do you think about the tobacco on the mid palate? No.
Like, is it off-putting to me?
Did you get it with the minerality in the mid palate? The tobacco with the. We never really talked about the minerality, but I think it's flint.
Sure.
Some kind of stone. What?
Yes.
Okay. But
I think it's Arrowhead.
I don't know that I can get. I'm getting the tobacco on the mid palate. Rob's being a turd.
He is a turd.
But yeah, so I would say, like, all things considered on this, I would probably rate it somewhere around an 88.
Scott is verklempt.
I know. If you guys want to fight.
My feelings are hurt.
I could maybe give it an 89, no, but that's
your score is your score.
Yep.
I like this for 91. Oh. Probably I would frame this 90 to 92. Really love the element of a mouthfeel to it. It's not, it's in between silky and, I'm going to leave it that above that. It's just above silky in the mouthfeel and the texture. I love how it starts off as this fruity thing, and then it, I said it before, Rob said it's dumb, but it kind of shifts gear where the tobacco just bounces.
No, I didn't say it was dumb.
Yeah. What'd you
say? You were dumb.
Well, I am dumb.
No, but what did I say was dumb?
Me?
No, what did I say was dumb? I didn't say anything was dumb.
The tobacco, it just changes in the mid palate, and it all of a sudden it just becomes something different. There's this wonderful fruit front forward palate, that berry, currants, and then tobacco comes with the minerality, and then it's just got this wonderful tannic finish with a Merlot-like mouth-washing astringency. Mm. It's long. I don't know that we talked enough about how long it is. It's a long finish.
Well, I've had longer.
I bet you have, son.
As soon as you said that, Scott, I knew Rob was going to say that.
Of course. But 90 to 92, I'm going 91. Solid, recommend it. Couldn't recommend it. For a,
yeah.
Listen, folks, for a departure into France, mm-hmm, of a proper French wine. Now, this is in Bordeaux. This is GSM. $13, folks. Wine.com. If you've never considered buying off wine.com, buy this shit. Mm-hmm. Just go straight in, get the stewardship, get the free shipping, and buy a half case of this. Because you're going to love it. Unless the thought of putting tobacco in your mouth is off-putting for whatever reason, then don't. But if you want to experience proper French wine, Languedoc, this is it.
Some people might say.
$13.
So, it's on to me, folks. Now, Scott realizes he wants this to be in the Hall of Fame badly. I can sense that. I can feel that. Care. And now you care.
I know.
And the way I review it makes a difference. And I like that. So right now we have an aggregate score of 90. We have an 89 because Becky said give Scott a point, and a 91. So if I rate it below a 90, it's not in the Hall of Fame.
Or 90, because actually the aggregate score right now is 89.5.
A 91 and an 89 equal
89.5. 88 plus 91.
And no, it's a 89 plus 91.
I said I would give it an 89. It's
fine. She upped it.
Listening skills equal. Okay, so.
You bought that score.
If I'm giving it my honest of it, like if I'm giving it not based on its merits, for the flavor for me, is like an 83.
Ooh, you want to give her that? You want to do that?
Just do whatever you want.
At least I know I don't have to order this again tomorrow.
So I'm like really trying.
I enjoy it, but I can live without it. That being said, one thing that Scott said that he is wrong is the length. It doesn't have tremendous length. Lord. It's not a Brica. It's not Brica. It's not that. It's not a 93. 92 to 90 range is a little, Scott, that's a little crazy. It's very good. It's as good as the Bila Holt, though. It's a 90 for me. And I originally, when we drank it, I was like, ooh, this might be a 92. Then I drank it some more. I went, might be a 91. Then I went, no, it's a 90. It's a 90. That's what it is. There's nothing wrong with being a 90. It's a very good, solid wine. And like Scott said, it's a very good expression of Languedoc-Roussillon. And it gets in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, like Be the Whole. I would suggest Be the Whole is the same damn price as this, too. If you buy either one of them, you're not going to go wrong. The only thing that went wrong is Parker went a little bit buck wild and gave it a 93 when he shouldn't have. It's not 93. It gives an unreasonable expectation. It's a, and if I was to give it a range, I would go 89 to 91.
Or point different.
But I would not go to the 91. I'd probably go 88 to 90. Sorry.
Okay.
But that's okay. Partly because it doesn't have the length. It really doesn't, Scott. It's not a long wine. But what it does quite well.
I've got like 20 seconds. I just took another sip of it. It's about 20 seconds.
No, that's called, that's just.
And that's just.
It's acid reflux, Scott. That's what that is.
No, that cleared up a long time ago. It's called Tums. Time it.
No. It's just tannin and
tobacco. It's nothing but tannin on the finish.
No.
That's for sure.
It's not an expansive finish, and it's not that particularly interesting finish. It's not.
I said is it had some length.
It doesn't. It that's not really length. It sits there for a while. It has aftertaste, if that's what you want to call finish. Finish should evolve and turn into something greater than itself. Brica did that. Brica had one of those finishes that you go, oh my God. I don't know if you listened to the Brica episode before this, but it evolved. It turned into something exceptional. This just has tannin.
Yeah. It's just longer tannic finish. Mm-hmm.
What it does well, but it doesn't really go beyond that. So a 90.
One thing that has dissipated a little bit.
Yeah.
The minerality is really dissipated.
It has, and I don't know if I would age this a great deal of time because it hasn't done well in the glass. You're seeing it degradate just a little bit here and there. And this was better 35 minutes ago than it is currently.
I agree with that.
And that's a problem.
And the minerality increased as we started to drink it. Now it's really dissipated. It's almost gone.
Yeah. So I wouldn't age this. I would drink it now if you have it. Drink, and I probably wouldn't order a lot more of it, even though it gets in the Hall of Fame. It gets in a lower ring of the Hall of Fame, but that's okay. So, for Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, the Triple B, and Rob the Wine Guy, we are going to bid you adieu, and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.